Ladies and gentlemen, we continue the auction with Lot 22, a reclining nude in the Florentine manner, formerly belonging to the late Duke of McFadgen. Now, can I say 20,000? Thank you, sir. 30,000 sell to this gentleman here. Will you take this very decorative piece with you, sir?
Yes, come along, my dear.
God bless you, Dad. You won't regret it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Round the Horn.
Hello and welcome to the show. Now, I've just been handed the result of the first race in the flat racing season. It was won by 23A Jubilee Mansions Kilburn. And only three flats ran. Yes, well, I thought you might like to hear about some of the things I've been doing since we last met. As you know, I'm a bit of a bon viveur, and on Tuesday I decided it was time I replenished my cellar. So I went out and bought a packet of salt. Wednesday I went for a run in my new car. Well, I didn't really enjoy it. I banged my ankle on the handbrake every time I passed the dashboard. You've seen that, thank you. Thursday, I popped into the barber's, more out of nostalgia than anything else. Friday, I took a book on horticulture into the garden and spent the afternoon weeding it. And Saturday, I decided an old sweet I'd had for years needed recovering. So I went out and bought a toffee paper. Well, that's more than enough of that. Now, here's the only man with a less fattening center. It's rich, chunky, pedigree, Douglas Smith. Forward, Smith.
Sir, it's time for the Round the Horn Forum of the Air, in which listeners phone in to air their views.
Here's the first call now. Hello? Oh, hello, Mr. Gruntfutter.
Oh, hang on a minute. I've inserted sixpence and now I can't get it out again. Oh, never mind. I'll try later with a bit of wire.
Yeah. Now, what can I do for you this week?
I wish to ventilate my spleen, Miss Lorne. The woman at the Labour Exchange has been unable to find me a suitable position in my chosen profession.
Which is?
Window cleaner, specialising in bathroom windows.
No, you don't entirely surprise me. How exactly do you work?
I stand on my ladder, rubbing the pane with a damp chamois. I find it eases it somewhat. Yes, I frequently work for hours on the bathroom window, Miss Rowan. I try to. What is the phrase?
Keep it clean.
Oh, all right, I won't say it then.
Well, look, perhaps you're too specialised. I mean, many shops would be glad of a window cleaner. For instance, I have a butcher's.
So do I, but I used to.
No, well, have you tried advertising under household services in the local paper?
Yes, but they made a typographical error. They put me down as window cleaner.
Oh, unfortunate.
Oh, not really. I've got 50 of them round here now. You'll have to excuse me, the water's boiling.
Well, thank you, Mr. Grandfather. Hello, Horn here.
Are you the man who's been phoning me up at all hours of the night and making improper suggestions?
Who is that?
Mrs. Emily Bulstrode of 49 Coronation Buildings, Putney.
Oh, 49. No. No, in that case, it's not me.
Oh. Well, if you feel like keeping numbers in the book...
Thank you. Well, that's all the phone calls we have time for. If you'd like us to give you a call, just write in. The names of the lucky listeners will be produced from an old hat. And speaking of old hat productions, brings me to our next item, featuring Dame Celia Mulstrangler and aging juvenile Binky Huckaback. We bring you an excerpt from their least, but by no means last, film, Brief Re-Encounter.
Fiona, don't you remember me?
Charles, oh, it can't be.
It is.
But it can't. it be? It's impossible, incredible, inconceivable, unimaginable, and yet...
Inevitable, Fiona.
Yes.
Yes. Fiona, you must give it to me.
Give it to you. But what, Charles?
You know what I've come for, Fiona. Money.
Money, Charles? How can you stand there in your old uniform and ask me for money, Charles?
I must stand here in my old uniform and ask you for money, Fiona.
But you've never asked me for money before, Charles, standing there in your old uniform, saluting me in that peculiar way. Why, Charles, why?
Because this is Baba Job Week, Fiona.
And when decimal currency comes in, the Boy Scouts will have to call it 5 new penny a job week, won't they? Well, now, many of you have written in with medical problems, in particular Lefty of Potter's Bar. And all I can say to him is, don't worry, it's... quite common for one to be longer than the other. And I suggest you consult an earlobe specialist. However, in view of these letters, we've persuaded Nurse Florence McGanderpoke to come along and give us the benefit of her advice.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Horn. First, I'd like to talk to you about old wives' tales. These can now be successfully operated on. And any old wife who has one shouldn't worry too much. One listener has written to say that his stomach hangs out over his bathing trunks. Well, if I were him, I would dye it. Preferably the same color as his trunks. Some of you have asked me how to remove unsightly moles from the lower limbs. Well, I myself find that a sharp blow with a rolled-up newspaper... No, it soon has them scurrying to their burrows. And finally, a piece of advice on how to avoid MacWhirter's disease. Keep away from MacWhirter.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. And next week, she'll be giving you advice on your molting toupee. And if you accept the advice, well, be it on your own head. And, talking of things being on your own head, I'm going to sing now. It's a number of poignancy and nostalgia that compares in its quintessential mellifluence with such limpid creed de coeur as Roll Me Over and O'Reilly's Daughter. And in it, I shall be accompanied by the entire Max Harris. Ladies and gentlemen, among my souvenirs. There's nothing left to see of days that used to be when you deserted me, except some souvenirs. I didn't want the stuff, it only gathers fluff, and I've got quite enough without those souvenirs. Who needs a stuffed giraffe? Disraeli's photograph. A chap called Bickerstaff. It leads to complications. I count them every day, and I can only say, please take your junk away, remove your souvenirs. You broke the news to me kindly. I can't say you were not fair. Yet just because I loved you blindly, I have the burden to bear. A partly smoked cheroot, a left foot rubber boot, some decomposing fruit among my souvenirs, a pair of bathing drawers, assorted apple cores, a set of folding doors among my souvenirs. How the hell they got there, I don't know. Though if I had my way, I'd throw it all away. I think it's here to stay. The council won't remove it. Of China there's a load, some Derbyshire and Spode. There's half an old commode among my souvenirs. And now, Movie Go Wrong, Forward Smith.
Sir, Hornographic Productions, in reluctant association with Rent-A-Thug Debt Collectors Limited, present the memoirs of a newspaper editor. I showed them in Fleet Street.
My name is Hieronymus Newtgrasper. For many years, I was editor of the Daily Globe. In fact, I've spent most of my life in one newspaper or another. I find they're cheaper than suits. And as our story opens, I'm in conference with some of my staff. Marge, as woman's editor, do you have anything to put forward?
Yes, I must protest about the way our sub-editors use their blue pencils. Once they get their hands on my articles, there's no stopping them.
Yes, I'll see what I can do, Marge. Now let's hear from our society columnist, Peregrine de Vere Fitzaubergine.
Yeah, well, last night the Duchess of Aberystwyth was seen having a bit of a knees up with the Duke at a charity nosh-up. He stayed and had a little thing on a stick, but she scarped at about 11 because of her plates, so we're giving her a jip.
How elegant it all sounds. I wish I could have been there.
Yeah, well, you didn't get to eat an arrow like what I done.
Yeah, of course. Well, I adjourned the meeting and suddenly the door burst open.
I can do it, sir. I can do it. I can do it. Give me a chance and I'll show you I can do it.
Yes, I'm sure you can, but what?
I could be an ace reporter, sir. I used to work for the Wapping and District Courier.
Oh, yes, that folded, didn't it?
Yes, sir. That way it was easier to push it through the letterbox.
Fine. Well, I'm not sure if there's an opening.
Oh, there must be. I'm willing to work my way up, sir.
All right. I'll see what I can do. What's your name, young fella?
Arnold Cream Tea.
Not one of the Devonshire cream teas, are you? No, I suppose not. Very well. You can start as a coffee boy, but stay out of my hair.
That won't be difficult.
Arnold set to with a will. That was another young coffee boy.
Listen, Will, I'm not going to be a coffee boy all my life. One day I'm going to make it big. I'm going to be a great reporter. I'll be known as the man they can't.
Can't what?
I haven't decided yet. I mean, you've got to keep your options open. Hang on. Here. There's somebody coming. Is it the racing correspondent, Captain Putter?
No, it's Marge Poops, the woman editor. Can't you tell Marge from Putter?
Come along, you boys. There's no paper in my office, and I'm writing an article on lace panties.
Oh, sorry, Miss Poops. Here's some paper. Oh, while you're here, Miss Poops, I've got a feature you might like to look at.
Oh, let's see. Is it all your own?
Yes.
It's rather interesting. Yes. I might be able to use this. Perhaps it's a little wordy. Yes, you could shorten that sentence and take that and out of there.
Well, anything you say, Miss Poops.
After that, Arnold often submitted items for Marge's column, Kitchen Hints.
Housewives who like their lettuces crisp should put their heads in cellophane bags and pop them in the refrigerator.
Fashion tips.
The new look in dresses is wasted. Well, it's wasted on me anyway.
Eventually, I made him a cub reporter, but this didn't satisfy
him. No, I'm fed up with being a cub reporter. They never make news. They just sit in a circle going dib, dib, dib all the time.
I see.
I'm a hard worker, sir. Hard worker.
Yeah, I'm sure you are, yes.
I'm learning all the time. Every day I buy all the newspapers and study them.
Good, good. Well, keep on taking the tabloids.
Perhaps this is an opportune moment to mention that I, Douglas Smith, play Fleet Street. I've lined myself with the newspapers for the occasion. I start off at Ludgate Circus, bend in the middle, and end up in the law courts. I'm old and narrow.
You can say that again.
Yet visitors come for miles to see my bustle. So much traffic passes through me that sometimes I get rather choked.
Oh, never mind, Smith. I think you're a nice street.
Thank you very much.
Surrounded by several rather quaint old squares.
I shall refrain from comment.
You'd better had. Now, where were we? Oh, yes. Arnold had started to make his mark in Fleet Street, but the police made him scrub it out. I had my own problems. The proprietor of the newspaper, Lord Stoatstream, was worried about circulation.
Oh, my feet are going numb.
Well, your suspenders are too tight, sir. Here, borrow mine.
Oh, thank you. That's much better. Now, what's this I hear about our cookery columnist being sent to jail?
Well, I'm afraid it's true, sir. She refused to reveal her sources.
Plucky little minx.
Wasn't she?
Yes. Now, look here, Newt Grasper. I've got a report on our potential readership. Here it is. 13 million people broken down by age and sex.
Really?
Yes. And it shows that our main appeal is to this under-25 group.
Oh, splendid.
What? Only 25 out of 13 million? It's not good enough. You've got to pull your socks up, man.
Well, I can't. You've got my suspenders.
Well, damn it, if you haven't doubled the circulation in 6 months, you're sacked. Understand?
I was worried. That night I tossed and turned, and I confess I cried a little. And the man on the next seat complained, and they threw me off the bus. Next morning I called a meeting and asked the staff for suggestions.
I've got a suggestion, Hanson.
Yeah, later, later. Now, what's important now is the future of the Daily Globe.
Well, speaking of stargaze and a staff astrologer, I foresee a massive surge in circulation. I say that in 6 or 7 weeks, we shall have super sales.
Oh, don't talk wet. Anybody else got an idea?
I have one. Why not print it in invisible ink for people who haven't got time to read newspapers?
Yeah, what's Max Irish doing in a sketch? Get back to your piano, you great cloth-eared clown.
Now, William,
oh, she can't read lines. Takes him all his time to read those little dots with the tails on. Any fool can do that. Go on, get out of here.
Yes, yes. All right, that's enough. All right. There, back to the plot.
So this great, always pushing himself
all
in.
All right, William.
Pushing himself.
It was then. It was then that young Arnold stood up and spoke. He was pale and nervous, as usual. But he still gave a good account of himself.
I'm 5'10". Dark wavy hair. Incredibly handsome. Good teeth.
Yes, 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 yes. But what's your idea for improving circulation?
Well, I can tell you what's wrong with the paper. You've got half-naked women showing their legs on every page. We should be aiming higher than that. Come on now. Let us appeal to the intellectuals.
You mean we should have half-naked Oxford dons?
Yes! Yeah.
I put the idea up to the proprietor.
I like it. This young fella, Arnold, what's his name, has got something. Or if he hasn't, he looks as if he has. I want you to promote him.
And so I promoted him. He came up with many more ideas.
Here, let's put vinegar in the printing ink to appeal to the chip shops. Let's print on cellophane so the commuters can read it and look at girls' legs opposite at the same time.
These revolutionary ideas produced a dramatic change in the fortunes of the Daily Globe. We lost every single reader.
I can't understand it. They don't seem to want transparent, vinegar-soaked pictures of half-naked Oxford dons.
Yes. Well, some people are funny that way. Arnold and I lost our jobs on the Daily Globe, but we weren't out of work for long. With our reputations, we soon got two of the most important positions in Fleet Street. I was under the clock, and he was outside the pub. Read all about it in the Daily Courier.
Daily Globe goes bankrupt. Read all about it.
So ends this week's production. Next week, I'll personally introduce an extract from Seven Brides for One Brother. And I think you'll agree that's bigamy. Now we step into the twilight zone to meet rambling Sid Rumpo.
All right, thank you. Very nice.
Hello, me dearie.
Now, what many a splendid thing have you brought for our delectation this week?
I feel I can truly say that the song I'm about to fuddle your wits with is without doubt the most lackluster piece of tawdry effluence with which I've ever strained my adenoids.
I see. It's one of your better efforts.
Yes, precisely. Its burden, and I use the word advisedly, is of a lugubrious nature and goes after this fashion briskly but furtively. Was on a Monday morning, just as the day was dawning, my sweetheart stood a-yawning beneath the holly tree. Her artifacts were woggling. No wonder I stood ogling. As she whirled away with her looming fork and grundled away with her grouting cork until I spilled my tea. Was on a Tuesday morning, she stood beneath the awning, her posset she was pawning for 25 and 3. Her cordwangle was chilly, oh, so she aft on it like Billy, oh. As she treadled away at her fumble jug and nadged away at her grumble mug, 'twas worth a trip to see. 'Twas on a Wednesday morning, the landlord came a-forning without a proper warning to ask her for a fee. It seems she had to pay a fine for hanging moolies on the line. And tattling oats on the Queen's Highway and gathering groats on the 1st of May, although she did it for free.
Thank you, Rambling Sid Rumpo. A few days ago, I started getting anonymous phone calls, and at first, I thought nothing of it. It was obviously the work of a crank. But the calls persisted, and when I picked up the receiver, a voice heavily disguised would make threats such as kidnapping my wife or getting at the budgerigar by means of drug cuttlefish. And, of course, I couldn't let that continue. I mean, I'm extremely fond of the budgie. So, I thought I'd better get some protection. And as luck would have it, I saw an advert in my local paper. It read, Bonar Private Detective Agency, Personal Protection Guarantee. So, the next morning, I paid them a visit. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Julian, and this is my friend Sam.
Oh, hello, Fitzroy. Oh, I'm so glad to meet you.
How nice. What brings you trolling in here, then?
Well, are you private detective?
Private and confidential. We specialise in delicate inquiries.
Delicato. Put yourself into our hands unreservedly.
Are you qualified?
Oh, yes. I'm ex-Sid.
Sid, Criminal Investigation Department.
No, Sid Goat's Breath. That was my name, but I had it changed. Now I'm Julian Lestrange.
After that inspector and the Sherlock Holmes, he's modelled himself on him,
modeled
haven't
myself.
You, on that Sherlock Holmes?
Yes.
He loves Holmes,
yes.
Don't you, Julian?
Oh, I love Holmes. I love Holmes. I read all his tales.
He loves Holmes' tales.
read them all.
He does.
Yellow Eek, Crooked Omi, The Red Riley.
He sees himself as a Sherlock of the over 60s.
Yes. He does.
Sort of old people's home. And what role do you play in the organisation?
Well, I'm his man Friday when he's in town.
I see. You're his... you're his what's on in London.
Oh! You want protection, don't you?
Well, how do you know that?
After that last joke, you need
Well, yes, it's true. I'm being threatened.
We can give all the protection you need. Fire, theft, flood, you name it.
Flood?
Yeah, we've got a small insurance business on the side. But to return to our moutons...
That is your actual French moutons. We give three grades of protection. They're comprehensive at 80 guineas a week. That includes armed guards at your side, night and day, a professional food taster, and a ravenous Alsatian stationed outside your door.
Or there's your partial cover.
Partial.
Plain clothes man outside your window.
Partial.
Telephone interception service and a wire-haired terrier on the landing. That's 50 guinea a week.
Well, that's more than I planned on spending.
Oh, there's your 4 guinea ordinary.
Well, how does that protect me from attack?
Jules restrains itself.
Look, are you sure you're qualified?
Yeah. Oh, yes, of course. We've got certificates from the Home Office.
I've got a 00 number.
Have you? License to kill, like James Bond, 007.
No, 0071. Yes. That's the phone number of the Marine Commando Club in Paddington. Now take a message.
They're very obliging. Oh, the law, you know, the law is in our blood. We met through the law, didn't we, Jewel? God. Tell him. Go on. Tell him.
Bow Street.
Yes. Tell him what we've been doing.
Yes.
Go on.
We'd been demonstrating in Trafalgar Square.
Yes, we had been. We've been protesting, hadn't we?
Protesting
we was. You don't tell no lies.
No, I don't. I told
you. Who was he who'd been addressing us? Now, that, in with the collar, the vicar.
Josie Collins.
Josie Cannon Collins.
Cannon Collins.
We'd all march for Alder Mayston, hadn't we?
Yes, I joined the march at A-Market because of my feet.
Terrible feet.
Oh, that's
terrible feet. He's a martyr to his feet. All them years dancing on point. Always got toes like a bunch of nutty bananas, yeah. Haven't you, Jules?
No need to tell him.
Go on, tell him why. Tell him why.
For my art.
For his art. He suffered for his art. He strained himself in the middle of Stravinsky's sacred reprint him.
Yeah.
And he had to give up the ballet. Yeah. He was like Thistledown.
Thistledown.
He was like Thistledown. Here, tell him what Dame Alice said to you. Tell him what Dame Alice said to you.
What do you mean about keeping out of the girls' dressing room?
No! Not about how light you were.
Oh, yes. She said I was light on my feet.
Yes. Like a fairy was.
All to be old.
His lallies was his fortune. Until come that fatal matinee.
Oh, no, don't.
They say even now, they say you could hear the click all over the theatre.
I can't say.
And from that day, he's not danced a step.
Not one entrechat.
No, yeah.
Well, it's all liniment under the bridge now.
No, but he's left his feet in no state for protest.
No state at all, so I joined him up the A-Market.
Yeah. Anyway, to cut a long story short, there we was in Trafalgar Square singing, "We shall not be moved," when all of a sudden we was. And before we knew, in the Blackbird Eye we was, and off to Bow Street.
Yes, but we were so impressed by the boner demeanour of the police, we decided to take the law into our own hands and become private eyes.
So here we are, ready to give about all to help fight the crime wave. What is your actual problem?
Well, all it is really is that I've been getting these anonymous phone calls.
The anonymous phone calls.
Yes. Oh. Well, I'm sure we can help you there. If you pay us a retainer of £10 a week, we guarantee these phone calls
will stop.
Well, how can you be so sure?
Easy, Ducky, we'll stop making them.
Well, that's it for this week, except for a late news item. The winner of this year's Miss Universe contest is an 18-year-old girl from Mars. Her vital statistics are 38, 26, 35, 78, 44, 67, 3. I thought you'd be interested. Cheerio. See you next week.
That was Round the Horn, starring Kenneth Horne, with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, and Betty Marsden. On the musical side, you had the Max Harris Group, and the script was by Barry Took, Johnny Mortimer, and Brian Cook. The program was produced by John Simmons.